101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, finally Friday, October 4th. A little after 11 o'clock, actually. A little after 11 o'clock. And I shall be your host for the day. Today we're going to continue a conversation with what we were having with Miss Erica Grant Wilson. Miss Grant Wilson just published a book and she's on her way to the Bahamas. She should be in the airport now to distribute her book. And I'm excited about it because yesterday's conversation, we didn't get to go in detail, but we got a teaser. A teaser of the book about empowerment. Just earlier on the Erin Green Show, On the Clock, she was interviewing Dr. Kim Williams, all right, and she just published a book. So we are continuing a series about great authors who live abroad, live in the United States, who are Bahamian, who have gone through a journey and have decided to return home to make sure that Bahamians have access to their manuscripts and their books. So I'd like to reintroduce to you to Miss Erica Grant Wilson. Miss Wilson, you're there.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I thought it would have been louder in the airport, but I am doing well. How is the weather there where you at? And where are you at now?
I'm currently in Miami.
Oh, you're close.
On a layover.
Yeah. You're just North Bahamas.
I hop, skip, and jump away.
Yes, North Bahamas. And when last were you home, by the way?
Honestly, I haven't been home in about 6 years.
6 whole years.
Yes.
I'm impressed that you still have your accent. You know, when Bahamians go abroad, you all start talking funny.
I think it comes and goes depending on who I talk to, because, you know, you got to switch it up. You got to switch up.
That's what the talk in order to blend in and come right back out. But you have published a book, all right? And the book is available on Amazon, is it?
Yes.
And you're bringing some copies home to the Bahamas to make sure that we Bahamians who don't like buying things online and getting the ship have access to it here.
Yes, that is correct.
Good. And you are, like I said earlier on the top of the show, that you are on your way home to do that now. And the name of this book is Who Says?
Yes.
And Who Says is a book, and it seems to be more children-oriented, but it, of course, you have a wide audience who wants to purchase a book or have given it a thumbs up and say it's a got to read, must read. But it's about empowerment and going overcoming trials. Give me a synopsis of the book again for me.
Okay. So I will just read the back of the book for everybody.
Go ahead. So I think they call it a blurb. I know, but, you know, I wrote one book once, and so go ahead, read that.
Okay. It says, ever had somebody tell you that you can't do something, that you're not smart enough, strong enough, or cool enough? Well, who says? Affirmations and messages of empowerment. Who says is a powerful reminder that you are capable, strong, and filled with potential, no matter the challenges you face. This inspiring book speaks life into children, encouraging them to overcome negativity and embrace their true greatness. So, if you're ready to challenge the naysayers and embrace your amazing self, let's turn the page together and start this journey.
Nice. A book of affirmation. And clearly, Bahamian youth needs affirmation. We find that a number of our children deal with complexes. And in this society that we call the Bahamas, right, we have a number of peer pressure. We have issues with our children being confident and comfortable within themselves. So having a book like yours, a book of affirmation, to have Bahamian youth comfortable in their skin, in your opinion, in your experience, and I want to know your experience on why you decided to write this book, is there a need for Bahamian youth to have more affirmations to encourage them to be strong?
I 100% do. You talked about a little bit about you wanted to know why I personally wrote the book. And it's this, everything inside this book is something that I dealt with or struggled with even still or was in my youth. So I feel as though that kids, they really need to hear positivity speak over them on a day-to-day basis. When I was growing up, I did have my wonderful parents who was able to speak positivity over me. But when I was in school, I had people who kind of told me that I wasn't smart enough and I wasn't going to be able to do anything. Stuck with me, even though I had people in my life that told me otherwise. I think it really matters, and the things that we hear, we keep with us, right? So just like I said yesterday, that when you would go to a museum and you would play that track, right, that is playing in the museum to help explain what the picture that you're looking at is. If you go to that museum every day for a month, eventually you're not going to need to play that track anymore because you're going to already know what it says. That's what we hear when it's negative. So when I was in school, I did have an adult that kind of spoke negatively over my life, where they said that I wasn't smart, I did struggle with spelling, and that was a major issue with me in high school. But that track I continued to play as I grew older. Even though I graduated and I went off to college and started to study architecture and engineering, ironically, I waited until the last minute to take my English class because I was so traumatized. And I kind of thought that that was going to be it. I thought I was going to fail and that I wasn't going to do well. And I came all this way for nothing because the person who told me all those things were right. And that was that track that I keep replaying in my head. You're not smart. You're not good enough. You can't do it. But the crazy thing is that I got an A in that English class.
What?
I used to write poetry when I was younger. And that was a last assignment that we had. And I decided not to write an essay, but to write a poem. And I guess my English teacher, she loved it so much that she actually asked me if I ever thought about minoring in English. Which was crazy to me because I had so much issues with spelling. But she molded me and helped push me into the direction that she saw that I can be. She said, you can do this even though you struggle with spelling. Like, and quite honestly, since I've been in architecture, a lot of people who are in architecture, they're not the best spellers.
I understand. They have a different craft. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I feel as though when I was reflecting upon that moment in my life and all the things that I have accomplished since, I recently got nominated as the professional of the year in my organization. And I thought about that young girl or that young version of myself thought that I never could have done any of those things. And I started talking with other people and I realized that we all in some way, some shape or some form play that same track in our head. So I wanted to give people a different track to play. And I wanted to tell kids, even if they don't have parents like mine or family members that are able to uplift them, I can be that person that can be that voice for you to let you know that you are able to do it. And I've seen some studies that have shown that kids who have grown up in environments that tell them that they can't and they won't, they actually never do. It's kind of like that baby theory. If you put a baby in a tent, in a box with a snake, don't do this, but it was just an experiment that's into a baby with a snake, it doesn't cry, right? But when you put the baby when you put the mom with the snake and the mom freaks out, then the baby knows that snake is dangerous. So as kids, we look up to the people that are around us that are supposed to help us, to push us in the direction that we want to be. And if they tell us that we can't do that, then we will think that glass ceiling is something that we can't break.
We're talking to Miss Wilson, who lives in the United States as an architect, but she's returning home now to make available her book, Who Says, right? And listening to her story, when I was a teenager, having my own complex of going through, I wish there was some kind of outlet, some kind of reference that I could have gone to help me to get over my complexes. And I'm appreciative that you are making this book available, because a number of Bohemian kids are having challenges in terms of selves, right? And it sometimes be easy, because my mom was very supportive, saying, oh, don't worry, you do well, you're the smartest man in the world, whatever it is. And I'm looking at her and saying, woman, no. You're supposed to say that because you're my mother. But if everybody else is saying, no, Cecil, you don't gonna be anything, right? It gives you the point where you say, man, I can give up. They expect me not to do anything, so I'm not going to do anything. And the idea that you went through this and you've decided that you're going to write a book on steps and affirmation for kids to get over, right? That people who are hearing that the book exists, a Bohemian version of the book exists, that they can purchase and give to their child, to assist their child. I want to commend you for that.
Thank you. I honestly feel like it was something that I needed to do, because a lot of people, they struggle with a lot of different things. And the book is not just about like struggles with spelling or people with autism or people who have different abilities. It also talks about who says your hair isn't beautiful, who says you stutter, who says you can't draw, who says glasses aren't cool. They're things that when I was growing up, I had struggles with. And when I did research, I found out that other people have the same issue. And it's really not to say that you won't ever have struggles after you read this book, right? It's you always have people that are always going to deny your abilities. But this book is to say, hey, you have that person that's telling you can't, but I'm telling you, don't look over there. Look at me. I'm telling you, you can do this. So keep going.
What happened? Are not aware that they're being bullied or that they're being under pressure and stress, right? They just think this is just life. You know, there are parents or parents who say, man, just get used to this. You can be pressured anyway, right? And no affirmation to get you over the hump, just to get used to being abused. How does your book address something like that? Or does your book address anything like that?
That's a good question. I guess, in a way, that's kind of similar to my situation. Because, you know, back home, they'd be like, oh, you got thin skin, right? You just can't take the joke. But I felt as though that it was just the things that people say. I thought it was normal until I realized that I was repeating the same things that people was telling me to myself. And I feel as though that when that happens, there's a separation to where it's not a joke or a harmless situation anymore. It becomes harmful to that person. And I feel as though that if they're circled around people that constantly do that to them, I agree that they might not know that they are being bullied or have negativity spoken over them, because that's all that they know. But this book is specifically for that person, that if they read the book, that they will understand, hey, when such and such said this, but this book says this. And they can be like, well, I didn't like it when they said that, but I always wanted to be a doctor and science, even though such and such said I can't be a doctor because I'm not good at science. But this book says, I can work at it. I can keep going. I can keep trying, and I will become a doctor if I just keep at it. I think once you read the book, or once they have the book in hand, they can understand the difference between positive and negative, and they can use that to their benefit.
So who is the target audience for this particular book? Is it just, is it for parents? Is it for the teenagers? Is it for pair counselors? Who is it exactly who should definitely purchase this book and say use this as a reference?
So my book originally is targeted to kids ages 4 to 8, but I've had adults that have read my book and have enjoyed it and have actually messaged me and spoke to me privately and said, you know, these are the things that I struggled with when I was younger, and I still struggle with it today. I actually have someone that came to me recently, and she kind of broke down after reading and said, I needed to hear it today. And she was 36, right? So I feel like this book can be for everyone, not just for kids, but for adults too. Because even though we aren't that 6, 10, 8 year old version of ourselves anymore, that version of ourselves still lives in us. And as we grow up, we carry that younger version of ourselves with us, even if we don't think that we are. And this book can help heal that version of yourself.
You mentioned the book is for primarily for four-year-olds to 8 year-olds. That's primary school, basically, right? Primary school. And I just could lose my train of thought right there. For primary schools, right? How will you make your book available for this audience that is a target market?
It's my goal to try to go to each of the primary schools and possibly have conversations with the kids, a one-on-one meeting with them, and give copies to each of the kids. I created a company called Little Words Affirm, and that company is based off of the fact that every word counts. And I think that this message is so important that I'm willing to go door to door, person to person, to tell them, to give them access to this information.
So you're doing some type of a reading tour where you go and read your book and make it available for the teachers, make it available for counselors to say, parents, and say, okay, yes, I see how it benefits my child.
Yes.
Good. So do you have a social media page, any social media handles where you promote your page? How do I search for it on Amazon? How do I find your book in general? Because I know you're on your way home to make the book available. You're bringing copies of the book to distribute and put in bookstores, et cetera, et cetera. But how do I get in contact with you to even have you as a person coming to speak, do the booking tour, or just to reach out to you to explain that part to me? What is it? You know, how do I do that?
Yes, you can message me on my website. It's called littlewordsaffirm.com. And I'm also available on Instagram. My at name is Erica_Patrice_, or you can also find me at affirmed_littlewords.
Okay. And when are you doing that so I can say, well, let me come and look for this book?
Well, I'll be in Nassau in 2 hours.
In 2 hours. So
if you want to meet you wherever you're at.
No problem. I make sure your mom come and drive you all the way out east. Yes. But definitely, I want to say thank you for making this book available to us. A person who is dealing with complexes, this person who have teenage and young girl children who have dealing with what they call mean girl syndrome. There needs to be reference books where they can have affirmation and say, hey, this is a way to get over it. Who says you can't do this? Who says you're not pretty enough? Who says you're not rich enough? Who says you're not athletic enough and that you can do all things, right? And inspire them to push forward. So I do appreciate that you're doing this. And you said the book is available on Amazon. Just look for Who Says?
Yes, Who Says by Erica P. Wilson.
Okay. Okay. And then you're going to make the books available to the particular bookstores. Anyone in particular that we should go and check out?
I have not had any conversations with them as yet, but as soon as I land, that is my number one priority.
Okay.
I'm trying to make this as available as possible to anybody that wants it and for people that need it.
And before you go, can we get like a cell number just in case the listening audience can write a call you or text you, WhatsApp you, say, hey, I know you're in town. I need to get my own autographed copy of this book. So to reach out for that. So can you do that for me too?
Sure. My number that you can WhatsApp me at is 806-6455.
Nice. And again, we are speaking to Miss Erica Grant Wilson, a Bahamian who's... Where are you living now in the United States?
Actually, I live in Dallas.
Dallas.
Dallas, Texas.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. She lives in Dallas and she's returning home. She's returning home to make available her book, Who Says, which is geared towards a primary school audience. So it's a book of affirmation, right, to especially young children who are going through prayer pressure and issues and they want to make sure they're being encouraged. Okay?
Yes.
Good.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I enjoyed having you. And when you come, and if you're still here during the next week, we could bring you on again so we could talk about your experiences and why you decided to publish this book. And I want to say thank you.
Thank you as well. Y'all have a great day.
Just as we go to the break, Mr. Nuri, that's a whole bunch of books this week, man.
I see that.
Yeah. Who says?
Who says, yeah.
Yeah. Which will be available shortly. She's bringing copies down with her, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then the book we discussed today, Get Involved, Stories of Bahamian Civil Society by Dr. Kim Williams-Pulfer, that's now available at NAGB's store, mm-hmm, at the Art Gallery.
That's a place to go to. Go on, right away, Miss Grant.
And then yesterday's conversation with Jim Lawler.
Yes.
Right? The Bahamas History and Memoir,
mm-hmm,
also another new publication.
But it shows that Bahamians are writing. Bahamians, mm-hmm, are writing it. And these books are more documentaries type thing, are recording Bahamian history or a time and event. So that's something, mm-hmm, that we need to be appreciative of.
And I also appreciate that they weave sort of the academic and the literary, the poetic, right? It's not just like a lecture series. It's not just, but Get Involved is woven with narratives as well as Lawler's The Bahamas History and Memoir, right? Both history and memoir. And I think they're going to be interesting and exciting reads. And I hope people also like take an opportunity to create new activities, right? Like these are books worthy of book clubs, right? We get together on a Friday night, a Saturday night, a Sunday afternoon, and we go through a chapter of the book with each other.
Yeah. Yesterday, actually, I spoke with Miss Zenobia Coakley Mills, who is the daughter of Coakley, the MP. I forget his name. For some reason, just gone blank. Mm-hmm. Right. And a name soon come back to me. And he, well, before he died, he had an entire library of books. And, mm-hmm, she reached out to me and said, well, she wants to donate his library, his books. Right. And ask me if there are any way I can assist her of making sure the books find the right home.
Someone, right.
To adopt the books, to adopt his personal copies of his books when he selected.
What do you mean adopt them?
Yeah, Livingston Coakley. This is Livingston Coakley.
I could adopt
That's a
them.
Lot of books.
Lila Green have a whole library.
I see Lila Green's library. She got a whole more books.
She'll put me out.
And make space.
And make space for the books.
Yes.
But please consider us. But listen, so in this month, I have a project, Mr. Nuri. Professor Crystal Walks Francis has produced a trilogy, an anthology of the music history of the Bahamas.
Okay.
And I intend on creating a talk series with Professor Crystal Walks Francis,
mm-hmm,
on that work in the month of October, starting in the month of October for National Heroes Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to continue, because it's three volumes. So there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff to delve into and conversations to sort of pick apart, right?
There's a new bookstore on Bay that only has Bahamian books. Do you remember the name of that? I just see it, but I never stopped. Bay Street, I have no place to park, man.
You keep talking, I can keep searching.
Yeah, but I know there's a new bookstore in Bay and it's highlighting Bahamian books and say, come there, everything Bahamian, I think it may be, right? And two women decided.
Is it through the pages?
Could be, I don't remember.
I think maybe it's Through the Pages.
I just know it on Bay Street and it has only Bahamian books inside the bookstore.
Yeah. Through the Pages is located in downtown Nassau and offers books in all genres, including, I don't know. Yeah. It says all Bahamian
books. It's all Bahamians. I remember it's all Bahamians.
Okay.
But someone might reach out and say, yeah.
I see another tagline, author opens 100 Bahamian bookstores. So, I mean, maybe they start,
maybe that's it. Yeah.
They start with 100 Bahamian books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's 100 different authors or at least books that by different genres, whatever it is.
I'm not sure. That's interesting too, right? Because if it's Michael Obadiah Smith.
He have about 100 books by himself.
There you go.
You know, Miles Monroe, how about 100 books by himself?
Right. It says authors open 100% Bahamian bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a venue for that. If you are a person who appreciate literature and want to appreciate Bahamians in general, there's a bookstore that centers, that tails around Bahamian in general.
Right.
That you go there and see into Bahamianism.
In fact, if I owned a bookstore, I would find all local vendors who sell books of any sort and then form an association so that we could advocate and lobby for concessions and thing, like a removal of duty and VAT and all them thing on books because people need to read. But then I would then organize a local book festival. I would find one of my largest tourism stakeholders and say, look, we need to have a literary month, and every day that a boat lands, we create a space where we explore with our guests local literature.
Are there any book clubs here? I know that Georgette Turnquest and Palacios, I forget, Anastasia Palacios, and who else? Cara Hunt. Used to do a book club. And they go monthly.
Yeah, there are a number of book clubs. I know Ponciana Paper Press and Equality Bahamas, they have a book club, right? There are lots of book clubs. The question is, what types of books are they reading? And then sort of like, what's the output? With Ponciana Paper Press and with Equality Bahamas, sometimes partners, like the book club will result in a project where people come together. They read stuff and then they come together and they write something as a collective afterwards, right? But exploring these sort of academic / cultural / historic works could be pure entertainment, man. Plenty good time.
But I would ask you, do Bahamian read?
Bahamians read.
Bahamians read?
Yes, they read.
Still? I when I say read, I'm not talking about clippings from Facebook and clippings from online.
First of all, buy
a book and say, I'm going to read this for pleasure, for leisure.
First of all, if you're asking me, do Bahamians sacrifice their other needs for the purpose of buying books to read? Plenty do. A lot have found technology to be helpful and they order audiobooks. But see, here's a problem with the audiobook. Do you really own it? See, I in that era where I want to own the book.
Yeah.
Like, I may not even read it, you know, but knowing that I own it makes me feel
rich.
Like a rich. Mm-hmm. Not to say a better person, not better than other people, but just a better person, right? And so there's something for me about owning the book, holding the book. But a lot of people realize I need to be buying e-copies. Like our cousin Juan Taylor, who is publishing the works of his grandfather, Sir Milton Taylor, right? And he is making it accessible to Bahamians by providing...
And cheaply.
Digital e-books for a cost far lower than what would be required for a print copy, right? And so that's great as well, especially when you live in small island developing state, limestone, porous rock, hurricane zone, where flooding and rain and leaking could destroy your book just like that. Right. And so there's the pros and the cons of hard copy versus digital electronic copy.
And I just want to continue to shout off with Juan Taylor. I didn't realize Henry Taylor, the governor, Sir Henry Taylor, wrote so many articles, books to have like 6, 7, 8 books to be published. Thick books. You know, detailed books about what's called it, bush medicine, about Bahamian culture, island life. It's like a whole topic.
So, you know, ZNS, we only had one channel.
Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Something that Miss Erica Grant Wilson, the author who is on just now, said that when she's at university, last class, her lecturer mentioned that, why don't you major in English? right? And maybe you had a flashback when I was at COB, mm-hmm. right? You know I can't spell a lick. I can barely string sentences together, especially how I stutter and dyslexics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Ian Strawn saw my grades, right? Mm-hmm. Never met him before. Now we're friends now, you know. I could call him by his first name now, can you imagine? I used to call him Dr. Strawn back then and get intimidated because he was like the star of COB back then,
mm-hmm.
right? Everyone spoke about Dr. Ian Strawn and his books and what his proliferation of writing. And he came across like two essays I came across. And he said, why don't you change your major and major in English? And I said, this man know I can't spell. It's not that nasty for him to even suggest I major in English. And he said, man, no, man, I like your work. And now he... You know, I write stories,
yeah.
short stories. He read him and his wife read my short stories and then say, oh, no, this needs to get published. Oh, I want to read this. So I say, yeah, I can imagine going back to school to learn how to spell.
You know
what? Let's go have a call
again,
here.
If you could get a scholarship to go back to school to learn how to spell, pass it on to me, please.
Do you know there's a degree in spelling?
Do you know there's a button on my computer to spell all the words for me?
No, they spell the wrong word. Like, what I tried to spell the other day?
Directly?
No, directly is a real word. I could spell that. It just
can't spell it. We could spell it.
Homonyms. There's some homonyms that get me. It's trying to say this one word. So
that's homophobic. Don't be talking about the homonyms trying to get you in front of me, Mr. Nuri.
Let's go to the caller. Good day, caller. How you doing today?
Yeah, hey, Mr. Nuri.
Hey.
I got a joke for you, and I would need you to do me a favor, because I don't know if Aaron have your number, but...
I need to get your number, because my wife say used to upholstery, and she wore one couch, reupholstery, whatever that word is.
Yeah, I would like to look out for you. You know, I got a gear, a low price.
I thing, appreciate
right?
that.
But I got a joke for you.
Yeah, man, go
I
ahead.
I got your sour orange tree here, but it's a baby. So I know you ain't no horticulture, so I don't want to give it to the small. I got a guava tree. On a sugar banana tree, right?
Uh-huh.
A sucker.
You know, I've been looking for a sour orange for decades now.
His name is Zachary Taylor from Andrews.
Nice.
So I need you to know genealogy found to be related to these people. All right, that's all. Bless up.
I plan to do it, man. Thanks, 552. I appreciate that.
Look here, the rank discrimination. So only Nuri could get fruit tree because woman is climbing tree and make it sour 52.
You know you'll make my sour tree. You know how long I'm looking for sour orange?
But is it not the most appropriate time?
Perhaps. Do you know, I grew up making lemonade with sour orange. Now I have to make lemonade with lemons and sour.
Listen.
And it ain't the same. Lemon and lime ain't the
about,
same.
If you don't know about sour orange aid.
Mm-hmm. But I don't see it no more. I haven't seen sour orange maybe about 20 years.
Let me tell you why. When you talk about we don't like to read, right? That's not what it is. Bahamians appreciate reading. They like to read. What it is that we don't properly explain on the job site the importance of reading and understanding the full scope of your job. So you know what the biggest problem is?
Mm-hmm.
When people go to clear land, the people who are actually operating the vehicles that clear the land, they are not instructed by their bosses to read. Like, if you clear land, you should be reading about trees so that in your work you can identify valuable trees. Even if you're going to pull it up and take it and put it down in your own yard.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when the property owner says, I don't care, just pull up all of these trees. They flatten this property. And you see the scarlet plum tree. You see the governor's plum tree. You understand that, hey, I have to clear this, but it doesn't mean I have to destroy it.
I finally found Governor's Plum, by the way.
Yeah.
I went by a lady and she had in her yard.
Describe it.
It looked like a scarlet plum, but it's smooth.
What color it was? Red?
Red.
When did you eat it?
It was about maybe 3 weeks ago.
No, you don't eat it red.
You don't eat it. Well, I eat it red. It's red.
No, you eat it when it looks like a store-bought American plum.
What's that?
The governor's, the purple plum in the food store, the plum. So when you, the dark purple skin.
Yeah, that's a scarlet plum.
And then
plum.
When you, no, that's not a scarlet plum.
Yeah.
Scarlet plum is like a hog plum. It has a big hard stone.
But this ain't had no stone in it at all, this governor's. Go ahead and listen.
Governor's plum is like an American plum.
I know you talk about American plum.
Sir, I don't like the aspersions that you're casting on me that you carry on. Like you You tell your children I had to walk 17 miles to school and I didn't enter a formal food store until I was 25. That's what you tell your children, right?
Pussy.
Because I grew up hard.
Mm-hmm.
The American Governor's Plum is like a smaller version of an American, the dark purple mm-hmm. American plum, the way the flesh is soft and almost translucent.
Mm-hmm.
The skin on a Governor's Plum is extremely bitter,
mm-hmm.
tannin-esque, almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of the Governor's Plum is blending both the super sweet inner flesh and the super tart and bitter outer flesh, and it produces the most beautiful juice.
Now you need to help me go look for this American plum you're talking about, because I know I have no idea this. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. How you doing? Welcome.
Good morning, Nuri, and good morning, Aaron.
Morning, good morning, sir.
Yeah, I calling in because I'm R52, ready off the sour, sweet and sour tree. Earlier, the mail boot in Anvil Point, and I finished talking to my boy. Now I have to check with him for you, Aaron, to find out how much sweet and sour tree they got there. That's cool, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I have another question for you. You know anybody in Ragged Island?
I just want to get one little thing in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're concerned with this issue with the police reputation, as 52 mentioned. You know, they want Duke's integrity on us and they want to uphold their integrity, right?
Right.
And, you know, then today make a week, Aaron, when I call you, when I was in the 100 Point in Crooked Island.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Now, I just want to say, you know, for the Bahamian people, that how they carry on with us, that here it is, the ASP down there removed my friend's woody gear back to me the week before when I put it on my property. You see what I'm saying? I have a receipt for it.
But do you still have the fence, or you just remove it? You just took it down? Where are you going?
Okay, no problem. I have some text there. It says, CA, as a Christian... Well, let me see what time it is before I start reading. Oh, I have got time. So CA, as a Christian, I find that my faith steps in where and when I cannot find people to support me. Does her book incorporate themes for Christians and faith-based people? I should have seen this earlier so I can answer that. Aaron, I rather physical books as well, because when BPL want the electricity back, I can still read. I'm not sure if you read in the dark, but I understand what you mean in regards to that. Let's see if I have any more text here. This text line during foolishness. Discard. Press discard. Go back. Click on there. Says, what the name of the book? The book with name, yes, is Who Says? That was the name of the book. LOL. It's a clipping from Facebook. Yeah, man. I know a lot of people, only thing they read is whatever clippings they see on social media. Other than that, they ain't ingesting nothing. They ain't reading no newspaper. In fact, they get their news from social media. They get their news from Facebook. So if the powers that be are not putting their information on Facebook in a meme, that four sentences, that five sentences, that is simple. Behemoths ain't reading, man. So, I am concerned about that. But at least I'm proud to say, I'm excited to say that there are a number of new authors that are publishing. And we must commend for that. And we can now have a number of young authors, right? And when I say young, below the age of 20, who have decided to write. Remember when we had the Ministry of Youth and Culture here, and they had those collections
from the intern program where they opened up a program. I think they said they had a large number of people entered, and they had, but we had eight books.
Yeah, yeah.
A minimum of eight books were published: short stories, little novellas. It's good stuff. And then the year before, we had the anthology that was produced for the Golden Jubilee.
Yeah, I remember for my child's 16th birthday, right? I turned over my journal when I was writing. I didn't show off the smart things, right? Because I wrote a lot of things instead of journal 11. I didn't read it.
You didn't redact it?
No, I didn't say, let me look through this. But I say, you know, child, this is just your present. You know, years of writing inside this journal. I kept a journal. You ever kept a journal, Aaron? No?
Part on and off. I wasn't good at it.
Yeah, I write a lot.
Yeah, right.
Especially someone
I wasn't consistent.
Especially someone who can't spell.
So I turned over the journal, right? And immediately she saw essays, because I told you I used to write a lot of essays, right? Mm-hmm. And you can, she's one of those people from that AI thing, which just type in the thing and then the whole essay print out. So she said, oh, Daddy, can I use this essay? I said, but that's my essay. He said, but we have one similar. I said, no, you could be inspired by the essay, but you can't use the essay, saying it's a Nuri essay. Therefore, I said, that's copyrighted under me, not copyrighted under you. It belongs to her now, since I turned over the book to her. But yeah, that's my child.
Hmm.
Yeah. So she get like at least 20 essays.
If you hear anything sound like ChatGPT,
I always know when it's ChatGPT. You
just have to prompt it properly to sufficiently change the article to make it sufficiently different.
I always said I have a conversation with you, and if it doesn't sound like you, you ain't write this.
That's a good test. Yeah. I mean, that's always a good test because
vocabulary words.
You speak the way you think and you write the way you speak, eh? You know, and so that's why it's important to talk to your children. That's why it's important to talk to people. Yes. And that the young people have this practice of hearing people speak, hearing people use words, right? Use words in different contexts, like play with language, but they have to experience it. One of the reasons why only 7% got C and above on all of their exam results is because we stop talking.
You stop talking
to young people. Like we don't want to acknowledge they exist. They are part of this society. Mm-hmm. This is how they learn, by observing and partaking in conversations and activities with older people.
I always tell a child, use your vocabulary, use your words. Let's have a conversation amongst each other.
But
right.
We have to give them the words to use and then show them examples of how they are used. You let the 20 V1s, you know, let them give your children all the language, TP, TP, TP.
Do schools still do vocabulary, though? I know when I was in high school, we had a class just for vocabulary. And you just learned the synonyms and the antonyms, you know, right. Homonyms and whatever it is.
I don't know if, given the structures that most schools are operating under, if they are able to bring vocabulary lessons to students in a way that makes it real, right? And valid in their lives, like right now. I'm not sure if the system as it's set up gives teachers the flexibility and the ability, like the capacity to use imagination, right? Mm-hmm. To engage their students in that way. Mm. You know what it is? You take 2 hours to get to school and home from school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you just, as a teacher, you just get overwhelmed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I know vocabulary is important. Yeah.
And exposing your children to as many age-appropriate conversations as possible, right? Now, age-appropriate is not just about content, right? But it's about the language that you use to discuss the content. So your kids could be listening to, I'm going to say MSNBC and Fox, but I don't know. I don't know about them.
I had a friend, Tavares Boleg, when we was in high school. Mm-hmm. He only read comic books, but his vocabulary is comic book related,
mm-hmm.
right? But so when he read his essay, it sounds like a comic book,
mm-hmm.
but at least he had vocabulary. I mean, these comic books would be advanced.
Some right? of them, yeah, like graphic novels.
Yeah, so his even when he speaks, he has that graphic knowledge, graphic details in his vocabulary. So I found that impressive that he read a lot. Textbooks of comic books nonstop.
Right. And see, that's the next thing. This is where, like, of course, an individual is responsible for their learning, but it's all the elements and stakeholders in society and the family and the community that kind of support. They read let your children read everything, yeah. right? But the key is you're supposed to know what they're reading. Like you say, so you could engage them about it. Your kids could watch anything once you are the companion, right? Like you are there to say, hey, we can watch Ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. And you say to your kids, hey, you see that they're doing?
Mm-hmm. Have a conversation on that.
The top three reasons why you ain't gonna ever do that in your life, right? And anything can become a teaching tool if you are prepared to do the work along with your kids. But to just throw them out there and then every day when they come home, why you ain't got sense yet? Because you don't have any parent.
So, and my child is my child. She likes documentaries.
But we find that she for just like me, we watch YouTube all day and put on various historical documentaries, but that's not reading. Be listening. Like, her vocabulary is huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's never seen the words in print.
Right. And I think that's important as well, seeing the words, right? And so as our access to technology has advanced, it would be great if we could do comparative analysis on cognitive capacity, only visual to text, right? Like you just listening, watching, you just reading online, mm-hmm. versus reading from a book that you could touch the pages and touch the words in a different way to see, you know, how it impacts individual learners. Is there something that happens like collectively across the board with each medium? All of those things I think are important for us, for parents as well, who have this awesome responsibility of helping their children navigate a rapidly changing world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't do it this way. So what? Your kids got to do it this way, and your grandkids got to do it this way, and your great-grandkids going to have to do it possibly an entirely different way just because you are unfamiliar with you and just dead. But what's worse than that is that we refuse to acknowledge that the world is changing and we need to change with it.
I have a text here that says, I think schools need to add read aloud, especially for young men. You have these men who rise to the top posts. They can't read a statement. It's uncanny. It sounds like they talk about policing.
They're talking about plenty of people.
So when the police give the police a statement, you say, Lord, I ain't say that just now, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, and yes, women rise too. But I don't see the issue as frequent in women. Oh, I guess, but I don't see the issue as frequent in women. And I agree. Well, there's a need to read out loud so you can hear how it sounds.
And there's a need to get, I wouldn't say to get rid of, but to manage this choral reading. Remember when we did choral presentation?
Yeah.
You know, so people, they sometimes professionals, when they read and they sound like they're giving a choral presentation. Mm-hmm. We have to have this sort of continuing education, primary school, junior high school, tertiary, professional space. We have to give people, because here's what it is. You competing not just with other Bahamians. You competing in the global market of potential employees.
Yeah. The next test is, good morning. As a child, I was encouraged to read the newspaper. This expands vocabulary in kids greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My child just like to watch YouTube, all the news on YouTube. She could tell you what happened around the world. She could tell you there's a flood in the United States and how many people are dead. And she's gory with who died and whatever it is.
It's a great project. I've seen two different YouTubers. One does a daily news wrap-up in hip-hop, and one does like a 60-second, here's all the news that wasn't on the news channels today. If she's a voracious YouTube watcher and she watches the news there, make her write a news report.
Yeah.
Hey, you gonna pretend like you work for ZNS.
Mm-hmm.
You, all the news you watch today, I want you to give me a 5-minute world news breakdown. I want you to write it out, and then I'll read it, right? Yeah, you write it out.
Critique it.
Yeah.
This text is asking you, good morning, can you recommend a good Bahamian publishing company, please?
Me?
Yeah. What's pharma company name?
Pontiana Paper Press.
Yeah.
Then there's
One Rib.
And there's Papal. No, it's...
Then there's Media.
Peepal. The tree, People Tree, the Caribbean one.
Yeah. But I went, when I published those books, I went to Media Enterprises.
Uh-huh.
That's off Shirley Street. One Rib is good. That's they're not pricey, One Rib.
Mm-hmm.
Farmer.
Pontiana Paper Press.
She tends to work with you in terms of editing for free. She comes and say, come, let me read this.
And she has models, right, to accommodate your economic capacity. Mm. So you may not be able to do a 150-page book, but you can do a chat book of poetry, right? A smaller production of your work.
The only person who graduated with a poetry degree, what's she name? Name escapes me. She was on our show. Pratt. Her last name is Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? You know what's Pratt?
She was chemo with Farmer.
I almost married. Oh, Tunisia.
Tunisia.
I almost married a Pratt. Every time you say Pratt, I hear this go off. But
I understand. Tunisia Pratt. She publishes too.
Does the Guardian publish?
Yes, they do.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway,
Printmasters.
Printmasters, Guardian. Yes, definitely go to there. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. And we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Have a wonderful day.